Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Om Vijayatunanda Sarva Nandana Sarakaya. Faksu Samanatan Zena Tasmai Sri Rave Namah. Sri Chaitanya Vanavistam Stapitam Zena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayanda Dati Sapanatikam. Vanja Kobudubya Shaki Pasandu Vaiva Japati Tanam Bhavini Vavaisave Namah. What's your name? Yes, you.
Mine?
Yes.
Ishita.
Ishita.
Oh.
And where are you from?
India.
What part of India are you from?
Delhi.
You're from Delhi only?
Jaipur,
say. Jaipur, say. Oh. You're devotees of Radha Govinda.
Yeah, Govinda Uchikam.
Did you bring us any Mahaprasadam from Govinda Dev? Yes? Oh, okay. Now you can distribute.
Yes.
You sing so nicely. When you come, every time you should play the kartos, okay? Please. You
play always kartos. Play occasions.
Always. You play very nicely. In front of Radha Govinda, the devotees in Jaipur have so much of the essence of what Krishna consciousness is. They have so much love and affection for Govinda. And people stand and they sing such sweet songs. They sing so sweetly to Govinda. Your heart has to melt to hear the devotees of Radha Govinda Dev sing. And then they distribute prasadam, and people buy prasadam. But then, usually, when we buy prasadam, what do? We hide somewhere. But in front of Radha Govinda, everyone distributes Mahaprasadam. Yes? Kanji? Raja? Yes?
Hathi.
Oh, you have brought some for me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, committee people don't let you come in with that.
That's true. Now, we were hearing. What were we hearing yesterday? What was the last thing you remember that we spoke about yesterday? Anyone remember something? Yes, because something very dangerous will happen to Krishna. But of course, nothing dangerous can happen to Krishna because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as we hear about Krishna's pastimes and activities, naturally, we become attracted to him. Why? Because Krishna is all attractive. And Krishna, abhina tam nama namano, he is not different from his name, he is not different from his pastimes, he is not different from his activities. So one can actually experience Krishna depending upon his own consciousness. He can experience Krishna to one degree or another. And that experience of Krishna by hearing Bhava Oshad, it is medicine. It is medicine for those who are conditioned souls and for those who are already pure and liberated from the material world. It is not just medicine, but it is a direct experience of Krishna. So, does anyone remember anything else other than that? Good memory though.
Krishna makes himself really heavy.
Very, very heavy. Why? Why does Krishna make himself heavy?
Trinavarta is coming.
Trinavarta is coming. Shudder. This demon who comes like a whirlwind. And in the hot season, in Vrindavan is that the winds come every now and again called the Lu. And these winds come and you can close all the windows of your house, but somehow or another when these hot winds come in the summer, then the whole room gets filled with this dust too, because so this Trinavarta actually will be a whirlwind demon. Why else did Krishna make himself heavy? He knew that Trinavarta was coming.
Keep he on. Made himself heavy because the wind can't blow away heavy things and leave like double light things like
those. Oh, yes, that's a very good answer. Yes, but that whirlwind is going to pick him up. We'll hear about that in a moment. But Krishna didn't want Mother Yasoda to be disturbed, because she was upon Mother Yasoda's lap. And she was going to be disturbed. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explained that Krishna wanted to ride high into the sky, because everything Krishna does fills Krishna with so much ananda, so much bliss. So much bliss. Let's hear what happens. Text 20. When the child was sitting on the ground, because he was so heavy that Mother Yasoda put him down to the ground, he became as heavy as the entire universe. So while he was sitting on the ground, a demon named Trinavarta, who was a servant of Kamsa's, came as a whirlwind at Kamsa's instigation and very easily carried away the child into the air. Just see, he had made himself so heavy so Mother Yasoda would put him down. But then, when Trinavarta wished to carry him away, he was no longer heavy. Or maybe it was that Trinavarta was so powerful that he could even carry away this heavy Krishna. But no. Krishna allowed himself to be light so Trinavarta could carry him away. Purport. By Prabhupada. Trinavarta's heaviness was unbearable for the child's mother. What was Krishna Mata's name? Ishita?
Yes,
sir. Yes, Yasoda Mayi. But when Trinavarta Asura came, he immediately carried the child away. That was another demonstration of Krishna's inconceivable power, inconceivable energy. When the Trinavarta demon came, Krishna became lighter than the grass so that the demon could carry him away. This was Ananda Chinmaya Ras, Krishna's blissful transcendental pastimes. Covering the whole land of Gokul with particles of dust. But this was, of course, not ordinary dust. This was the Brajrajduli. You know what is Brajrajduli?
Mitti,
the dust of Vrindavan. When Akura came to Vrindavan from Mathura, when he saw the dust of Vrindavan, which was covered by Krishna's footprints, he rolled about on the ground in ecstasy, thinking about Krishna. So the dust of Vrindavan, there are Srila Sanatana Goswami explains in Vrindavan, there are three especially holy things. One is the dust of Vrindavan. What is another one? Does anyone know? Yes. Yes, Govardhan Hill. And another one? Yes, that's the second one. What is the third one? Jamuna, yes.
Yamuna.
Yes. And as Kali Yuga goes on, Govardhan will get shrink and shrink and shrink. And as Kali Yuga goes on, the Yamuna will disappear. And you can see both of these actually taking place at the present. And all that will be left at one point in Vrindavan is the holy dust of Vrindavan. So there was dust everywhere blown around by the Trinavarta demon. And he was instigated by Kamsa, because Kamsa and his ministers, they planned to kill every child who was born 10 days prior to the birth of Krishna, up to Krishna's birth. So they were always on the mission to kill Krishna. But every demon that came, first Putana, Shakatashura, they were killed immediately by Krishna. So everyone's vision. So this demon, acting as a strong whirlwind, covered everyone's vision and began vibrating everywhere with a greatly fearful sound. So there was a whirlwind and a horrible sound. Prabhupada's short purport. Trinivata assumed the form of a whirlwind and covered with a dust storm the whole tract of land known as Gokul, so that no one could see even the nearest thing. So understand the scene. Mother Yasoda had put Krishna down, and then the whirlwind came and picked Krishna up, and no one could see anything. Mother Yasoda immediately, as you would imagine, became full of terror, because where is my Krishna? Where is my Krishna? That fear evoked a separation from Krishna. Fear in the material world, bhayam vitiya abhinaveshita syad. In the material world, fear comes from seeing duality, as if something is separate from Krishna. This is the cause of fear. Specifically this, the Bhagavatam says. If one sees something other than Krishna in any circumstance, first of all, that seeing other than Krishna is called maya or illusion, because in fact, indeed, there is nothing separate from Krishna. By definition, he is the absolute truth. Absolute means all inclusive. So Krishna includes everything. So to see something separate from having to do with Krishna means maya or illusion. So fear is caused specifically by that. And then what happens is vaparyato smriti, that one will see the opposite of reality. Vaparyato, upside down, topsy-turvy, opposite. But Mother Yasoda's fear is something completely different. It is on the fully spiritual, transcendental platform. Her fear causes an increase in ecstasy, because it is fully centered on Krishna. Fear in the material world is centered on ahankar, the false sense of self. But in the spiritual world, it is based on with having Krishna in the center. So Mother Yasoda, because of this strong dust storm stirred up by the strong whirlwind, she was unable to find her son where she had placed him. Why couldn't she find her son? Why did Mother Yasoda couldn't find her son?
Because it was very dusty.
Yes, but not only that, Trinivarta, Asura, had taken away the child. Krishna had made himself so light. That means also that if Krishna is just playing with him, everything Krishna does is lila, which means playing, practically speaking, for his pleasure. So he allowed himself to be taken away. If he didn't want Trinivarta to take him away, Trinivarta certainly couldn't. So he allowed himself to be taken away. And Mother Yasoda could not find her son where she had placed him. Because of the bits of sand thrown about by Trinivarta, people could not see themselves. Just imagine how dusty everything was. They couldn't see themselves or anyone else. And thus, they were illusioned and disturbed. Because of the dust storm stirred up by the strong whirlwind, Mother Yasoda could find no trace of her son. Nor could she understand why suddenly he had gotten heavy. She put him down and suddenly a whirlwind came and suddenly he was gone. terrible anxiety filled her heart. And in that anxiety, she began to feel for Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And in that, there was association with Krishna because of the love, the intensity of the love, the rasa. And what? How did she react? She felt, do you know?
Wait, she was married.
More than that. She listen to what she did. She fell down on the ground like a cow who had lost her calf and began to lament very pitifully. Full of love for Krishna, just crying and lamenting. Krishna, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? When the force of the dust storm and the wind subsided, Yasoda's friends and the other gopis approached Mother Yasoda, hearing her pitiful crying, not seeing Krishna present. They too felt very much aggrieved, and they joined Mother Yasoda in crying, their eyes full of tears. Purport. Short purport. This attachment of the gopis to Krishna is wonderful and transcendental. The center of all the activities of the gopis was Krishna. When Krishna was there, they were happy. And when Krishna was not there, they were unhappy. This is Krishna consciousness. Janma koti sukratayar na labhyate. This takes incredible sukriti. What does sukriti mean? Pious, but there's different kinds of piety. Sukriti, there's karma sukriti, where you do pious activities and as a result everything goes your way. Money just falls from the sky into your hand. Beauty is yours. Everything happens and success comes. This is comes from doing pious material things. And then there is jnana sukriti, where one has a natural tendency to gain knowledge. But then there is bhakti unmukh sukriti, which means a predisposition to love of Krishna. So to come to this state, janma koti sukriti na labhyate, it takes janma koti koti janma of sukriti, tens and tens and thousands of births of performing spiritually pious activities to come to the point where one, where Krishna is everything in one's life. And the absence of Krishna, there is nothing except longing for Krishna. Here in the material world, everyone on one level is missing Krishna, but we're trying to fill up that with so many other substitutes we put in the heart. We run from Krishna to so many things. People are so miserable, practically speaking, when they come home from a miserable day at work. What do they do? What do they do? You don't know. You're too little to know this answer. You only know about Krishna. What do they do? Immediately turn on the television because their mind is so upset after they eat, and then maybe sometimes if they drink or something like that. Then they turn on the television because their mind is so unhappy that they need to distract it to an illusion. This is what is television? What is the whole movie industry? It is just because everyone's life is so miserable. Actually, the whole theory in Sanskrit, there's the theory of Natak Shastra, which means of drama. And the same thing is used in television and movies. And the trick is, and in spiritual life, Rupa Goswami has written Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu based on the same principles, that there has to be an identification made with the hero or the heroine, a personal identification. Therefore, when there's a children's movie or something like that, there always has to be some young child in the movie who this is happening to or that, because otherwise the children don't develop the identification. And then once the identification is developed, the psychological identification of me with this person, then every happiness, The hero experiences, the person watching experiences. And then every misery the hero experiences, every anxiety, is he going to get killed? Is he going to get the girl? Is he going to win the money? Is he going to this? Is he going to do that? Is he going to capture the criminal or whatever? The person who's watching it, due to the identification, experiences all the emotions. So people's lives are so dull and miserable that they want to watch these things, to go through a roller coaster of emotions. And it's really doing great harm to oneself to watch these things, actually, because so many impressions, you have to go through so many ups and downs and emotions. Very, very, very harmful to oneself, actually. But people do it because their lives are so dull and boring and miserable and full of drudgery. And the other thing is they identify with some sports team or another, their country's team, and if their country's team wins, they feel great exhilaration. If their country's team loses or something, they feel so miserable. So miserable. And if they're as if they had done something if their team wins. But they have done nothing. It's just identification. So when we identify, this is actually advanced Krishna consciousness means to learn the identification, not imitator, but with these personalities who love Krishna. And that's how one becomes trained. But that's advanced Krishna consciousness. So janma koti sukritara na labhyate. This takes hundreds to get it. You can't get this in hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of births of spiritually Krishna conscious pious activities. It takes so much, actually. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made it something that's so impossible. He's made so much easier. So much easier by the process of chanting. It describes in Chaitanya Bhagavat that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would have kirtan, the bliss of Goloka Vrindavan would descend. And when one's heart is touched by that taste, that fragrance, the sweetness of Vrindavan, of Goloka Vrindavan, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then the heart begins to long for that. I want that. I don't want this, what's available, the pleasures, so-called pleasures available in this world. And everyone is in ignorance about this. And when one, raise your hand if you listen to Prabhupada's tapes sometimes, Prabhupada's lecture tapes. He's just so relentlessly, heavily black and white about this. He's so strong about it. Heavy. Not everything shanti, shanti, shanti. But he's so heavy. And sometimes you want some shanti, shanti, shanti. But he's giving everyone, he's making it clear, because then no one can say, oh, I didn't know, no one told me. We make choices all the time, and we like to push out reality, the reality of the situation from our minds. But Prabhupada is, boom, he's so strong and heavy. So then we make our choices. Okay, we make our choices. But then we can't say, I did not know. We have to take the responsibility for our choices. So we should know that which the material world offers, anitya sukha lokam, in the end of the ninth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, anitya asukha lokam. Anitya means what? Temporary. Literally not eternal, which means temporary. Asukha. Asukha means dukkha. Very unhappy. Because Prahlad Maharaj says it's still what you don't want to happen, it happens. And what you do want to happen, it doesn't happen. And when you get, when what you want to happen happens, because it's anitya, you can't hold it. It just dissolves before your eyes, out of control. So therefore Krishna says, he says, anitya sukha loka, imam prapya bhajasvamam, having attained this place, this anitya asukha loka, one should worship him and go beyond this place. And then in the next verse he explains the methodology of worship. Does anyone know what the next verse is? Manmana bhava mad bhakto mad yaji mamaskaru. Just put your manmana, put your mind upon me, become absorbed in me. Don't become absorbed in the activities of the material world. And if we don't hear about Krishna, how are we going to become absorbed in thinking about him? We hear about so many things all day long and our mind becomes absorbed in that. If we don't hear about Krishna, what hope do we have to become absorbed in him? I'm thinking about him. Manmana bhava mad bhakto, in a devotional mood, become my devotee. Madhiji mam namaskaru, you worship me and offer me your obeisances. This is the process. Become absorbed in Krishna. Not absorbed in the sense of losing one's individuality, but absorbed in the sense of one's thinking. By absorbing the consciousness in Krishna, then Krishna becomes in one's consciousness, Krishna consciousness. So, this demon, having taken, assumed the form, oh, let me read, there's a few short comments by Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. Over here. Yasoda did not see baby Krishna there, where she had left him. Yasoda could not see her child because of the thick layers of dust showered down from the whirlwind demon. After the gusts of wind blew away the dust, the gopis heard crying from Yasoda's house. They also began crying as they converged on Yasoda's house from all directions. At first Krishna was as light as a normal child, and Trinavartita lifted him high in the sky. Oh, that's to the next verse. Let's hear what happened next. So having assumed the form of a first forceful whirlwind, the demon Trinavartita took Krishna very high in the sky. But when Krishna became heavier than the demon, he started to increase his weight. The demon had to stop his force, and he could go no further. Purport. Here is a competition in yogic powers between Krishna and Trinavarta. By practicing mystic yoga, asuras, demons, generally attain some perfection in the eight siddhis or perfections, namely anima, lagima, mahima, prapti, prakamya, ishatva, basitva, and kama vayashita. But although a demon may acquire such powers to a very limited extent, he cannot compete with the mystic powers of Krishna. For Krishna is Yogeshwar, the source of all mystic powers. No one can compete with Krishna. Sometimes, of course, having acquired a fragmental portion of Krishna's mystic powers, asuras demonstrate their power to the foolish public and assert themselves to be God, not knowing that God is the supreme Yogeshwar. Here also we see that Trinavarta assumed the Mahima Siddhi and took Krishna away as if Krishna were an ordinary child, but Krishna also became a mystic Mahima Siddhi. When Mother Yasoda was carrying him, he became so heavy that his mother, who was usually accustomed to carrying him, could not bear him and had to place him down on the ground. Thus Trinavarta had been able to take Krishna away in the presence of Mother Yasoda. But when Krishna, high in the sky, assumed the Mahima Siddhi, The demon, unable to go further, was obliged to stop his force and come down according to Krishna's desire. One should not, therefore, compete with Krishna's mystic power, because one will lose. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that I was reading on this text. At first, Krishna was light as a normal child, and Trinavarta lifted him high in the sky. When Krishna became heavy, however, Trinavarta slowed down. Within seconds, Trinavarta could not carry Krishna any further, so he stopped moving. Because of Krishna's weight, Trinavarta considered him to be like a great mountain or a hunk of iron. But because Krishna caught the demon's neck, so he was carrying Krishna away, but Krishna held on to him tightly. So that which he had now caught him. Because Krishna caught the demon's neck, the demon was unable to throw him off. He therefore thought of the child as wonderful, since he could neither bear the child nor cast aside the burden. Prabhupada's short purport. Trinavarta intended to take Krishna up in the sky and kill him. But Krishna enjoyed the pastime of riding on Trinavarta's body and traveling for a while in the sky. Thus Trinavarta's attempt to kill Krishna failed, while Krishna, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Vigraha, enjoyed this pastime. Now, since Trinavarta was falling because of Krishna's heaviness, he wanted to save himself by throwing Krishna off of his neck. But he was unable to do so because Krishna held him very tightly. Consequently, this would be the last time for Trinavarta's yogic power. Now he was going to die by the arrangement of Krishna. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's purport. After fulfilling his desire to fly in the sky and the desire of the celestial ladies of Swarga, heaven, to see his incomparable beauty, Krishna prepared to kill Trinavarta. There were devotees in the heavenly planets who wanted to see this beautiful baby Krishna. So Krishna allowed, not only was he enjoying, when Krishna does one thing, so many other things become accomplished. And one of these was that the damsels, the motherly ladies of Braja in Swargalok, in the heavenly planets, they wanted to see this beautiful boy. So Krishna allowed the demon to carry him high so they could see him. And another thing that was going to be accomplished is this associate, surrendered servant of Kamsa was going to be killed. So to fulfill the desire of the celestial ladies of Swarga to see his incomparable beauty, Krishna prepared to kill Trinavarta. Krishna became so heavy that the demon felt he was carrying a mountain made of iron. Because Krishna was holding him by the neck, Trinavarta could not throw off the Lord. Playing the part of a small child, Krishna feigned fear of falling from that height, and therefore he clung tightly to Trinavarta's neck. With Krishna grasping him by the throat, Trinavarta choked and unable to even make a sound or even to move his hands or legs. His eyes were popping out. The demon lost his life and he fell along with the little boy down to the ground of Braja. Jai. Well, the gopis who had gathered were crying for Krishna. So this is going on. The gopis, Mother Yasoda and the other gopis are crying, "Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna?" Trinavarta is taking away Krishna, thinking he's caught him and taking him away, thinking he's captured Krishna. Krishna shows himself to the Swarga damsels in heaven, and he enjoys the ride. And then he begins to get heavier and heavier. And the demon can't whirl around anymore. And he wants to throw Krishna off, and Krishna's holding on to his neck as if he's afraid. That's what children do when they're afraid. They hold on more tightly. Everyone does that. And the demon began to choke and his eyes began to pop out. And the demon fell down. And meanwhile, the gopis, "Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna?" And suddenly this demon falls down. and Krishna is on him. While the gopis who had gathered were crying for Krishna, the demon fell from the sky onto a big slab of stone, his limbs dislocated as if he had been pierced by the arrows of Lord Shiva, like Tripurasura. Purport. In transcendental life, as soon as devotees of the Lord merge in lamentation, they immediately experience the Lord's transcendental activities and merge in transcendental bliss because of Krishna. Because Krishna is the center and they love Krishna. With no attachment to Krishna, no one will experience anything. Actually, such devotees are always in transcendental bliss, and such apparent calamities provide a further impetus for that bliss. The gopis immediately picked Krishna up from the chest of the demon and delivered him, free from all inauspiciousness, to Mother Yasoda. So just imagine how Mother Yasoda felt. Mothers know when they're worried about their child, and then when they... And the fathers know too. And then when their child is back to them, safe, oh, such relief, so much love gets experienced. So much love and affection. So what to speak of the pure love of Mother Yasoda and Krishna, the perfect transcendental love. Because the child, although taken from the sky by the demon, was unhurt and now freed from all danger and misfortune, the gopis and cowherd men, headed by Nanda Maharaj, were extremely happy. Purport. The demon fell from the sky and Krishna was playing on its chest very happily, uninjured and free from misfortune. Not at all disturbed because of being taken high in the sky by the demon. Krishna was playing and enjoying. This is Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Vigraha. This is the third time Prabhupada has mentioned that these are Krishna's eternal pastimes, all composed of the spiritual energy. Krishna is composed of that, Satchidananda Vigraha. His pastimes are composed of everything in the spiritual world. It's full of bliss, the form of bliss, and the sweet taste of rasa. He has no unhappiness. Others might have thought that he was in difficulty, but because the demon's chest was sufficiently broad to play on, the baby was happy in all respects. It was most astonishing that although the demon went so high in the sky, the child did not fall down. Therefore, the demon fell on the rock slab, and Krishna was holding on to the demon on the soft part of his chest, and he was not at all disturbed. He was just playing. Therefore, the child had been saved virtually from the mouth of death. Now he was saved. All the inhabitants of Vrindavan were happy. It is most astonishing that although this innocent child was taken away by the Rakshasa to be eaten, he has returned without having been killed or even injured. Because this demon was envious, cruel, and sinful, he has been killed for his old sinful activities. This is the law of nature. An innocent devotee is always protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and a sinful person is always vanquished for his sinful life. Listen to this. Krishna conscious life means innocent devotional service. One of the qualities of a devotee is sharala. What does that mean? Sharala. You know what sharala means? Sharala.
Sharala.
Huh?
Sharala.
Sharala. Yes, very good. Simplicity of heart.
Sarala. Yes.
Of heart. Yes. Sarala means simplicity of heart. So Krishna conscious life means innocent devotional life, and a sadhu is one who is fully devoted to Krishna. Innocence of heart. Simplicity heart means the simplicity of accepting Krishna will take care of me. Like that. So, when we don't have a simple heart, as I can attest to, when someone says, oh, Krishna will take care of you, You think, yeah, but what about this, and what about this, and what about this, and how about this problem, and this could happen, and that could happen, and this could happen. So many things can happen. I've had so many experiences already of this happening and that happening. That is the a complicated mind.
Not simple.
This is Kali Yuga. Yeah. Everyone's heart has been pierced and cut and wounded, and it's very hard to gain some simplicity of heart where we just accept Krishna. Krishna is everything and going to protect me, and he is everything to me, and I really don't have any choice anyway, really, because I'm not going to be able to protect myself. But this simplicity of heart, which seems like naivete, like you really don't know what's going on in the world, is really required. Like Haridas Thakur, he was captured by the... in fact, he walked right into the town because he was a Muslim. And he was been chanting Hare Krishna. People were complaining about him. So the ruler wanted to give him trouble. So they called him, and he went. He just went walking right into the courtyard. And then he said, and they began to question him, and he said, what's the problem? You know, so many, there's one God, and you know, if I'm chanting in this way, in the name of the same God, what's the difficulty? And the king was actually so taken aback by him, the local ruler, the prince was taken aback by him, his simplicity, his fearlessness, he was certainly naive, they were going to kill him. And in fact, they really tried to kill him. Indeed, they did. But anyway, Mare Krishna Raki K Krishna, Mare Krishna. Who's gonna hurt me if Krishna wants to protect me? And who's going to protect me if Krishna wants to hurt me? So the prince actually, he said, "What's the problem?" But the qazi, the local, a more local person who was envious. He said, no, we have to punish this person. We have to punish him, otherwise he'll be a bad example. So they decided, they condemned him to death by beating him, caning him in 22 marketplaces. So they drag you through the marketplaces and beat you with bamboo. And if you get beaten, maybe... In Singapore, they still use this punishment. If you get one caning, one time, it's not so bad, because practically you get knocked out and you don't know how bad it's going to be because it's the first one. But anything more than one, you know what it's going to be for the second one, and you're terrified. And if no one gets more than five or six, because if you get 10, you're going to be killed. So they wanted to cane him in 22 marketplaces and drag through. Everyone could see what would happen to someone, Muslim, who adopts this low-class chanting of Hare Krishna. That's what they were thinking. So Haridas was being beaten one marketplace, and he wouldn't die. He didn't die. He didn't experience any pain. He was just simply focused. His consciousness was focused on Krishna. And then after 22 marketplaces, the people who were beating him, they said, "This, my dear Haridas, we can see that you're very saintly. Because you're not even in trouble, you're not even angry, you're not upset. You're just being beaten and there's no problem for you. But the problem is that when we bring you back and you're not dead, we're going to get into trouble." So he said, "Oh, you want me to die? Yes, please. Okay." He went into a samadhi trance where no life existed in his body, practically speaking. So they brought him back, and all the people were watching this. The saint is being beaten, and their hearts were breaking. And they were trying to bribe them to stop him, and begging them. Do anything, but they wouldn't stop. So they brought him before the Qazi, and they said, what should we do with him? We killed him. Let's throw him. Let's bury him. And they were so envious. They said, no, because that's the from the biblical, from those who follow the biblical custom, that's how the bodies are disposed of. They bury them. There'd be some benefit for him. So let's not even bury him. Let's just throw his body in the river. So they threw the body in the river, and then after some time, Haridas just woke up from the samadhi that he was experiencing of his love for Krishna, and just walked right back in front of the king, who was quite amazed by that time. But simplicity of heart, okay, Krishna, whatever you want. Mars Prickett, cursed to die, okay. Citriketu, Maharaj, cursed to die. Okay. Swaga pavaka nirakeshu apitoyatidas. This consciousness is exalted. We can't imitate it, certainly. We can't imitate it. There's never any imitation in the devotional circles. One has to know what the ideal is, but also know one's own capacity too. Yet this simplicity is wonderful. And in, so Prabhupada explains, Krishna conscious life means innocent devotional life, and a sadhu is one who is fully devoted to Krishna. As confirmed by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, bhajate mam ananyabhak sadhur eva se mantavya. Anyone fully attached to Krishna is a sadhu. Nanda Maharaj and the gopis and other cowherd men could not understand that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead playing as a human child, and that his life was not in danger under any circumstances. Rather, because of their intense parental love for Krishna, they thought that Krishna was an innocent child and had been saved by the Supreme Lord. In the material world, because of intense lust and desire for enjoyment, one becomes implicated in sinful life more and more. Kama esha, krodha esha, rajagunam samudbhava. Therefore, the quality of fear is one of the aspects of material life. Ahara nidra vaya maitunam cha. But if one becomes Krishna conscious, the process of devotional service, shravanam kirtam, diminishes one's polluted life of material existence, and one is purified and protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shrinvatam svakata Krishna punya shravana kirtana. In devotional life, one has faith in this process. Such faith is one of the six kinds of surrender. Rakshish yatitti vishvasa. In fact, it's the central point, the angi. The central point of surrender is acceptance that Krishna is my protector. One of the processes of surrender is that one should simply depend on Krishna, convinced that he will give one all protection. That Krishna will protect his devotees is a fact. Ananda Maharaj and other inhabitants of Vrindavan accepted this very simply, although they did not know that the Supreme Lord himself was present before them. There have been many instances in which a devotee like Prahlad Maharaj or Dhruva Maharaj had been put in difficulty even by his father, but has been saved under all circumstances. Therefore, our only business is to become Krishna conscious and depend fully on Krishna for all protection. We'll just read one little purport by Srila Vishnu of Chakravarti Thakur, and then we'll stop. Krishna was only a small, delicate child, yet he clearly manifested enormous power to kill such a great demon. This, however, did not decrease the affection of Nanda Maharaj and others. Rather, it increased it. This idea is expressed in three verses. One of Krishna's... one of Krishna's friends remarked... This is the particular place of what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said that I wanted to read. Because Krishna had been taken away, and everyone thought he was going to die in so much anxiety based on their love. And one of Krishna's friends remarked when he had returned, "But what is so astonishing? The cruel demon was destroyed because of his sin of stealing an innocent child. Though Krishna is only a child, he is saintly because he regards enemies and friends equally, and thus he was saved from danger." No matter what would happen, none of the residents of Vrindavan would accept that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because that would interfere with their great love with him, so for him. So Yogamaya would not allow that thought to... So they would always be making up, "Oh, he has been protected by Narayan because he's such a wonderful boy, he's so sweet and so beautiful and so equal vision, he loves everyone. He doesn't see anyone as an enemy or a friend, so therefore due to his purity, he's protected." And the demon, on the other hand, due to his sinfulness, is killed.
Jaya Jaya Shri Kornataya. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jaya. Sri Krishna Bhagavan, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna Ki Jaya. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Srila Vishnu Thakavati Thakur Ki Jaya. Krishna Nanda Yasodamayi Ki Jaya.